do want to extend to everyone tonight who has gathered in the church a very warm welcome. We thank you for coming and meeting with us. We pray that God will meet with us and bless us. And perhaps you're listening at home or some other place online. We do pray that you also will know the blessing of God through the ministry of the Word and the Gospel this evening. We do give a special welcome to our preacher today. We enjoyed his ministry this morning. Our brother, Mr. Stephen Crawford, a final year student for the ministry, currently helping out in our Tandragee congregation. Do remember him. Those months will pass quickly. And the exams will come and they'll go. And indeed for the months and lie ahead, we pray that indeed you'll remember him in prayer, that he might know the leading and guiding of God in his life. Immediately after the meeting tonight, round about 8:30 or so, there's the after church for youth up in the youth room, just on the upper floor over here to my right. And Mr. Crawford will be the speaker to the young people. All the youth are welcome to that service this evening. We do remember that as you leave tonight, the baskets will be at the exit on the evening service, as we've been doing just over the last few weeks. We'll just all go out the one door that we come in tonight. But do remember that social distancing and those controls as you exit the building tonight, please. The meetings during the week, Monday morning, tomorrow, 10:30 to 11, the Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers meeting in the church hall. Tomorrow evening, 6:45 to 8 o'clock, the Awana group. And do remember those meetings in your prayers, please. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, prayer meeting, Bible study in the church hall. Our own minister will be speaking, continuing the studies in John 17. And the theme for this week is In Touch with the Father. Do remember that meeting. It's a most important meeting of the church. And do join with us and gather with us around the throne of grace in prayer. Thursday evening, for members of church committee and session, committee meeting at 7:30, session meeting will follow immediately after the committee meeting concludes. Any items for the agenda must be in by Tuesday evening at the latest. Next Lord's Day, Sunday the 30th, the service is 10 o'clock, the Sunday school 11:30, family worship at 7 p.m, the special family and friends night. And we'll have testimonies from a husband and wife, Jim and Susan Gray, the soloist, Mrs. Vivian McCoy. So our own minister will be here in the morning, and then he'll be leading the service, or the evening service, and the individuals we've just mentioned will be taking part in that family and friends night service. Of course, if you remember the prayer meeting beforehand, 6:20 to 6:45, do plan to come and be with us. Remember those that need our prayers, those that are laid aside, those that are still continuing and finished treatment, the many there are. As I said before, some come off one end and more come on the other. So do remember them in your prayers. We're glad to see your brother Mervyn Steens tonight with us again tonight. Do remember Mervyn and pray for the Lord's full healing touch upon him. Just one other announcement we didn't make this morning. There are 6 remaining LTBS calendars right in the hallway there, sitting on the cabinet along the corridor. If you haven't got one and you want one, they're £3.50 each. We'd like to get all of these away and support the Let the Bible Speak ministry. So there are 6 remaining, and if you need a calendar, they're outside. And if you need to take one, if you see me, we'll get that sorted out. Thank you very much. We're going to hand the rest of the meeting over to your brother Stephen. We enjoyed his ministry this morning, and we're going to ask him now just to take the remainder of the service, and we know that the Lord will give him that touch and that blessing that he needs. Thank you very much.
Well, I'd just like to add my word of thanks to our brothers, or add my words of welcome to you all tonight. It's good to see you here. And just like to reiterate what I said this morning. I'm very thankful for our brother's very kind words and for his request for you to pray for myself. It is very much deeply appreciated. And again, I'd like to thank your minister, Mr. Smiley, for the opportunity to be along here today. And I do feel at home when I come to Ballygown, and thank you for your friendship and your warmth of welcome and encouragement on the doors. It's very much appreciated. We're going to open our service this evening by singing of the hymn 199, and it is God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. We'll remain seated while we sing the words of this lovely gospel hymn. Stand. If you're able to, please join with me as we come and commit our time to the Lord in prayer. We need His help, we need His power, we need His presence, so please let us pray together. this now. Our Heavenly Father and our Eternal God, we thank Thee once again for this privilege that we have to bow again in Thy thrice holy presence. We thank You, Lord, for all of Thy many mercies and graces throughout this day to us, Lord, and Lord, for so ordaining our steps to bring us again to the house of God this evening. We thank You, Lord, for everyone who has been able to come tonight. We thank You, Lord, for those who are watching in. Lord, we do pray that wherever Thy word goes forth, Lord, tonight, Lord, to those in the meeting house or to those online, we pray that, Lord, Thou wouldst come with power. And Lord, Thou wouldst meet with us afresh. For, Lord, we are poor and we are needy. And, Lord, we can do nothing without Thee. And, Lord, we are here to not look to ourselves or, Lord, to whip up some emotion of good feeling that we've been able to come here. But, Lord, we're here to worship Thee. And, Lord, we thank You for the privilege that we have to worship Thee. We thank You for the privilege we have to sit under the preaching of Thy word. We thank You, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, of having fellowship, Lord, one with another, of those of like precious faith. Thank You, Lord, we're in a preaching house tonight, a meeting house which believes the gospel, which believes the word of God is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, and living word. Lord, we thank You that we're part of a church tonight which has sought to stand for the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, not to change it or to water it down, to make it more palatable to men in their sin. But Lord, we praise Thee that, Lord, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Lord, we pray that we would not be ashamed of the gospel. Lord, we pray that we would not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice this evening, Lord, that they would be saved and that, Lord, they would be in Christ. But yet, Lord, the reality is I don't know every individual in this meeting house. Lord, I don't know who is watching in tonight. And Lord, I would believe that perhaps there is even one or two, Lord, in our midst or watching online, Lord, and Lord, they're still strangers to Thee and to Thy grace. And yet, O God, Thou hast been good to them. Lord, Thou hast shown them grace and mercy, Lord, when truly, Lord, none of us deserve grace or mercy from Thyself. And Lord, I pray for sinners to be saved tonight. Lord, I pray for the Spirit of God to come and to bring conviction of sin to their hearts. I pray, O God, that they would see the Lord Jesus Christ in all His beauty tonight. That, Lord, they would see their need of Him tonight to be their Savior, to be their Redeemer, and to be their Lord. And Lord, we praise Thee, Lord, that we have a Savior from all sin. We praise Thee, O God, that we serve a risen Savior tonight, one who came and lived and died in our guilty room instead and rose again the third day, defeating death and defeating the devil. And Lord, we thank You that He lives in the power of an endless life, ever living to intercede for His people, ever living to plead the merits of His precious blood, ever living, O God, to make our prayers perfect before Thy face. Thank You, Lord, for our advocate. Thank You for our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Heavenly Father, we pray that He would be glorified tonight, Lord. We pray that, Lord, that Thou wouldst bless everyone who have come to the house of God tonight or those watching online. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldst minister unto them tonight from Thy word. Lord, bless this congregation, we pray. Lord, let us know that this year will be a year of transition and change for them. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, Thou wouldst remember them, that, Lord, Thou wouldst lead them and guide them. Bless the session, bless the oversight, bless the Reverend Smiley, Lord, as he continues his ministry later this year, Lord. Bless him, Lord, and give him souls for his hire, Lord. Lord, may it be the best year of his ministry in this place, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray for the town of Ballygowan. Lord, let us know its needs, Lord, tonight. Lord, there are those tonight sitting in their homes, and Lord, they have no care. They have no thought about their soul. They have no thought about the things of God. Oh, Lord, we pray for them tonight. Lord, we pray for their souls. Lord, we pray that, Lord, Thou wouldst convict them of their sin. And, Lord, bring them savingly and lovingly to Thyself. Lord, remember those tonight who are sick and laid aside. Lord, our brothers mentioned them in His announcements already this evening. Lord, we pray for all of Thy dear children. We pray for those who are not well. And, Lord, we once again commit them to Thee, Lord. Lord, bless them, and Lord, do them good at this time. Lord, we remember, Lord, those that mourn, and Lord, we even think of that tragic road accident, Lord, in the Ravenhill Road last night, and Lord, two individuals ushered out into eternity. And Lord, that's the reality. We just don't know the day or the hour of our death. And Lord, we need to be prepared to meet God. And Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst comfort those heartbroken families tonight. And Lord, bless those whose hearts are heavy. Lord, those who perhaps lost loved ones last year or years gone by. But yet, O God, the pain is still very real. It's very raw. Lord, I pray for them tonight. O Lord, that they would know the comfort and the presence of the Lord. O Lord, we as human beings can only say and do so much. But yet, O God, it is the presence of God. It is the Word of God that brings real comfort and brings real joy and real satisfaction. And Lord, I pray that that would be the case for those tonight that mourn. And if there be any, Lord, and they're not saved, O God, speak to them and bring them lovingly and savingly to Thyself. Lord, our land is in the need for Thee to move. And Lord, it's time for Thee to work. For Lord, they've made void Thy law. And O Lord, we cry on to Thee, O Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Come and stir our hearts, Lord, and stir the people of God's hearts to pray, Lord. To pray for Thee to move in our land. Lord, to pray for the lost, to pray for the backslidden. To pray, O God, that we would be led on into a deeper and more meaningful and closer walk with God. And Lord, we humbly ask and pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And for Jesus' sake and glory alone. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading tonight is in the book of Acts, in your New Testament. And we're turning to a familiar portion, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, please. And I want to commence reading at verse number 25. Acts chapter 16, commencing to read from verse 25, and I'll read down to verse 34. This is the word of God. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. We will end at verse number 34. And we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake and glory alone. Amen. We're going to sing again before we come to the preaching of God's word. And it is the hymn number 282. 'Tis the promise of God, full salvation to give unto him who on Jesus his Son will believe. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. We'll remain seated while we sing the words of this hymn, please. that's true. But I want to ask the question, is he your Saviour tonight? He says, hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. Do you believe on Christ tonight? Is he your Lord? Is he your Saviour? Well, if he is, you can say, I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Amen. We're going to bow in prayer once again before we come to the preaching of God's word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, once again we continue on in thy presence. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word once again. And we thank you, Lord, for the singing of this hymn. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Lord, we thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or there is no forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, Lord, that his blood was shed so that sinners like we could be saved and that our sins would be covered and cast into the sea of thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. O Lord, we pray as we come now to the preaching of thy word. Lord, I humbly ask and pray again for thy help, Lord. Lord, I need thee. O Lord, empty me of self and sin, and fill me with the Holy Spirit, I pray. Hide me far behind the cross tonight, and may none be seen or heard this evening but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. O Lord, speak, Lord, with that voice that awakens the dead. Bring the lost to thyself. Bring the backsliders back. And Lord, build up thy people in their most holy faith. For it's in Jesus' precious name we humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Please turn with me back to Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, we want to consider a very familiar portion of Scripture, I'm sure, to many of you. And we want to bring the gospel tonight as best we can. And that's why we pray for the Lord's help, because we certainly need the Lord's help. And, you know, I was thinking, as preparing for this meeting tonight, my mind was taken back to that night where, as a potential student, I had to preach before the examination committee of the presbytery, or the examination committee set up by presbytery to interview potential students of the college. And the text I was given to speak upon that night was Acts chapter 16 and the verse 31. Now, I can't remember everything what I said that night. If you had to stand and preach before that body of men, you wouldn't remember probably everything you said either. It's a very daunting place. All those very serious looking faces looking back at you, and you're afraid you'll say something wrong, but we must have done all right and told them they needed to be saved and that Jesus was the only way, for we wouldn't be standing here tonight if we didn't. But we thank God for that. And I want to consider with you this evening for a few moments the way of salvation, God's way of salvation. And firstly, we want to consider tonight the question about salvation. The question about salvation. Now turn with me back to Acts 16. And we're going to read verse 30 again. And it says there, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, during our lifetime, we will ask many different sorts of questions. Questions like, how are you? Questions like, what are you doing today? Or perhaps, where are you going? What's your plans for this week? What's the weather forecast for today? You know, we could ask many, or we could list many questions which we have perhaps asked in our lives. But there's no more important question than this question that the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas. Because the Philippian jailer came to Paul and Silas and asked them this question regarding salvation. And what a privilege it is to hear and to see people coming and asking that question. How can I be right with God? How can I be saved? How can I know I'm saved? Because this is the most important matter that any one of us has to deal with in our life. And perhaps you haven't dealt with God's salvation. Perhaps you keep putting it off tonight. Well, I would urge upon you to listen and to follow what we will try to bring out in the message this evening. And I pray that it will speak to your heart if you still do not know the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Saviour. I want to for you to consider with me the background behind this question. You see, there was a background to, or a build-up to this man, the Philippian jailer, asking this question of Paul and Silas. Now, you will know that Paul and Silas were currently in a jail in Philippi. They were in the innermost part of the prison, as verse number 24 tells us, that they had been thrust into the inner part of this prison. This would have been a place that was very cold and dark and damp, a very unpleasant place to be. A very different setting to Macgabre and other such prisons today. But yet Paul and Silas had found themselves in this Philippian jail cell because of their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they had been preaching the word of God. And what resulted in them ending up in prison was that Paul had cast out a demon out of a little girl. And of course then those who had used this little girl for their own wicked ends, they had brought Paul and Silas before the magistrates and got them cast into prison. But all of this was in the providence of God, because here was a soul, it was the soul of the Philippian jailer that needed to be reached. And even though perhaps Paul and Silas wondered why they were in prison, perhaps they wondered why, what was God doing with them being thrust into prison. But yet God had dovetailed, God had so ordered this situation that these two men would be in the prison cell and that they would be there to be a witness to this man. Now Philippi was a central city in Macedonia, and that is today in modern day northern Greece. Now it was largely a Roman city which contained a very small Jewish population. Now since there was a very large Gentile population in that city, Paul, we know, was sent to be an apostle. He was to go to preach the gospel to these Gentile people. Now if you turn back with me to Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, and it is the verses 46 and 47. And it says there, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And then if you shoot forward to chapter 18 and the verse number 6, Acts 18 verse 6, and it says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean, from henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And there's just two instances where the apostle speaking to Jewish people had been rejected by the Jewish people for the preaching of the gospel. And so their response was that, well, if the Jews don't want the gospel, we are going to go to the Gentiles. And praise God, that was the plan of God from the very beginning. That God knew the Jews would largely reject the message of the gospel. And yet God had it in his plan to bring in Gentiles, which is what we are, Gentiles into the family and fold of God through the preaching of the gospel. And you know, whenever Paul and Silas were preaching at Philippi, they came to Philippi and they had heard this young girl following after them, and she spoke the truth. She said that these men were servants of the Most High God, verse number 17 there of Acts chapter 16. But yet this girl, by her being demon possessed, Paul was annoyed because he did not want Christianity to be associated with this demon possessed girl. So what Paul did, he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, commanded the demon to come out of this girl. And of course that's what happened. But then those who used her for soothsaying or predicting the future, seeing that their way of profitability had now gone, and so they had got Paul and Silas in trouble and got them thrown into the prison. But what I want you to notice here, when we're thinking about the background behind this question, if we look at verse number 26, I think it is. No, sorry, it is the verse number we see there that Paul and Silas, they were singing praises unto God in the prison cell. And I just thought about that. You know, if that was you or I, and we had been thrust into this very dark, damp, cold, unpleasant place for living for the Lord Jesus Christ, would we be praying? Would we be singing praises unto God? There's verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And notice these words, and the prisoners heard them. What a testimony these men had, that these were men of God and they weren't complaining, they weren't murmuring. But what were they doing? They were praying. And not only were they praying, but they were rejoicing. They were singing praises. What a testimony that would have been to hear this gospel witness for the Lord Jesus in this prison cell. And yet, notice there, the Holy Spirit has those words in there for a reason. And the prisoners heard them. What a testimony that would have been. What a witness that would have been to these ungodly, sinful men. As they heard these Christians, these apostles, singing praises, praying unto the Lord. Perhaps they were even praying for the fellow prisoners to be saved. Praying for the Philippian jailer himself to be saved. And I thought about what sort of a testimony would I have? Brother or sister, what sort of testimony would we have if we were in such a position? Would we be known for complaining, for murmuring? Or would we be known for praying and for praising God? Now, sadly, this last 2 years, it seems to have brought the worst out of some Christians, falling out and arguing over this and that to do with COVID. And yet, the focus of our attention should not have changed, because souls need to be saved. The people of God need to be united. The people of God need a vision to reach the lost. Doesn't matter what your opinions are in COVID. People need to be saved. People need the gospel. People need the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, the world has changed. The world has got more wicked and sinful, but the need's still the same. And since the need is still the same, praise God, the answer is still the same. And it's Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. But if the people of God are divided, if the people of God are complaining and murmuring against one another, there's going to be no blessing. And that's why we need to pray Psalm 133 for unity. We need the testimony which bears true to our faith in Christ. People who love the Lord and people who have a vision. And despite being in difficult and distressing circumstances, circumstances which none of us would want to be in, yet they prayed and they praised God. See, this is the background behind this question. And I'm sure this spoke to the Philippian jailer. As he's seen the testimony, he's seen the faith of these men. He's seen that these men were the genuine thing. They were the real McCoys, we like to say. There was nothing false about them. And then we see that in the providence of God, an earthquake had came. And the doors of the prison. Now remember as well that Paul and Silas, their feet were fast bound in wooden stocks. Verse 24 there, the last words of verse 24. And it says, and made their feet fast in stocks. So there's no way Paul and Silas were for escaping if they wanted to. For their feet were fast bound in these stocks. They couldn't move. But yet they were praising God. And here we see that the earthquake came. And the doors opened. And here their bands had loosed as well. And here was the opportunity for them to escape. But they didn't. They stayed and they remained. And what did the Philippian jailer do? Well, he's saying, well, I have failed in my duty as a jailer. The doors have opened and these men have escaped. And what did he do? He thought he had failed. And so he thought there was no point living.
He thought it was just better for him to take his own life. He had lost hope. He had thought that because he had failed to do his job, he was no longer needed. That it was just better to end it all. And sadly, how many in our province have come to that place where they feel that life's not worth living anymore? I would say unto them, do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. You see, he thought his life wasn't worth living because he had failed. Perhaps you failed and you think that there's no point. I would be better off away. Oh friend, don't think like that. You're loved more than you could ever realize. Your life matters to so many people. And just think of the devastation. Think of the heartache that would be brought if such a thing was to be carried out. Too many people have lost hope. Too many people think that this is the only way out. It's not the only way out. There is hope tonight, and his name is Jesus Christ. He can bring you hope. He can give you hope. He can give you joy, which this world will never give. He can give you a purpose and a reason to live. This man had in Jesus Christ. This man, I'm sure, was a pagan worshipper of Roman gods. And he thought his life wasn't worth living. And Paul says, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. We are all here. And then what happened next? Verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You see, here was the acknowledgement and the question. Here was the acknowledgement. The jailer realized that he needed something which he did not have. And here the apostles had something which he didn't have, which he wanted. And that was salvation. You see, it was only God's salvation. It was only by being in the very center of God's will that Paul and Silas could pray and praise God. Because they knew that this was out of their control. But yet it wasn't out of God's control. And you know, so often at times we feel that things are out of our hands. And we can do nothing but trust. Brothers and sisters, tonight, that's the best place to be. Because God makes no mistakes. And I know it's easy saying that at times. But here God had so ordered Paul and Silas' steps. He permitted them to be arrested. He permitted the earthquake to come. And here he brought this man before them. This man was trembling. Oh, that we would see sinners trembling over their sin. Over the fact that they have offended God who is holy and just and righteous. And that their sins, if it's not cleansed and covered and taken away, that their sin will take them to hell for all eternity. Oh, for such trembling again. Oh, what do we see? We see the total opposite in our society today. We see such brashness and brazenness and people full of pride. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me I need to be saved. Nobody's going to tell me who I can love. Nobody's going to tell me what gender I can choose to be. That's the prevailing spirit of our society today. Oh, that God would send us days where sinners would be trembling. Trembling before God who is holy. God who could, in a moment of time, cast them into eternity. You know, before the times of revival, there was trembling. People praying. People crying out to God for mercy at the turn of the creation of our province. Under W.P. Nicholson, Gospel Missions. And we hear the stories of people trembling and people thronging into churches. Or even Welsh Revival and the Isle of Lewis Revival. People trembling before God. Crying unto God for mercy. And here was this jailer. And he came in trembling. And we see the acknowledgement in the question. You see, he acknowledged he needed what these men have. I wonder, is that you tonight? Do you acknowledge that you need salvation? Do you acknowledge that you're a sinner? And that you're bound for a lost sinner's hell? And that God is well within his rights to withhold mercy and grace from you. But yet in the gospel he offers you mercy. in the gospel tonight. He offers you grace and salvation for all eternity in and through the person and the work of his Son. And praise God, there's hope tonight. But will you acknowledge? Will you acknowledge your sin tonight? Will you acknowledge your need of salvation tonight? Just like this man. Oh friend, that you would have such a realization tonight. And acknowledge, I need salvation. I can't leave this meeting house. I can't switch off until I know the matter of my soul is right and settled. Here we see, secondly, the answer regarding this question. The answer regarding salvation, I should say. And it says there in verse 31, and this is what Paul and Silas said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Notice here with me, it's simple. There's nothing complicated about salvation. You see, both these men were in unison in telling this jailer how he could be saved. Nothing complicated about it. All he had to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That word believe there, it signifies to think to be true, or to be fully persuaded of, to credit, or to, in other words, place confidence in. You know, you who are sitting in the meeting house tonight, you've put your faith in the pew to sustain you. Not saying anything about any individual here, but you've put your faith in the pew to hold your weight. And the builders, when they were building this building, they put their faith that the structure would hold the roof up and that the whole building would be held together. And thank God it has. And that's what salvation is like. By putting your faith, by putting your trust and resting upon Him alone for salvation. You know, we are to rest on Jesus Christ alone and His finished work at Calvary for the sins of those who would look to Him for salvation. You see, He finished the work of salvation for us. He paid our debt of sin by the shedding of His precious blood at Calvary's cross. You know, it's still the same message today that we preach. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth there, he said in those very well-known words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 23. He says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is what was the very sum and substance of the message that Paul preached and Silas and all the apostles. It was Christ crucified. In other words, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who went the whole way to the cross. And there He suffered and He bled and died for the sins of those who would look to Him and be saved. He is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. And that's the message that we want to bring to you today. To believe on Him. To look to Him. To put your faith and trust in Him. To rest on Him alone for salvation. And you will know it's well with your soul. Not only is it simple, but let me tell you, it is sure as well. For if you believe on Christ, you shall be saved. That's the very language that Paul says here. And that is the language of the New Testament. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts chapter 4 and the verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. And if I could quote as well, Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that word saved. Because it means to rescue, to rescue from danger or destruction. And you know, that's the spiritual reality of every sinner. That you need to be saved because you are on that broad road leading you to a lost, Christ has eternity in hell. And you need to be saved. You need to be rescued from that dangerous path on which you're travelling on. Now you could be walking the clean side of the broad road. You could be religious tonight. You may think that because perhaps I have been catechized or christened or confirmed, that I'm all right. Well, if you could be saved by those means, well then Christ would not have died. But let me tell you, it's only by faith alone in Christ alone. By placing your confidence and your trust, as I said, resting on Him. That is how you can and will be saved. Now we've thought about the answer for salvation, but there is the outcome from salvation as well. For Paul said to this man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You will be delivered from your spiritual danger. But he also says here, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Here we see the outcome from salvation. You see, salvation makes a change. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And here this man who was looking after these men as the jailer, he now was looking after them in a different way. Because we see here that this man had taken them to their house, to his house, and he had bound up their wounds, those physical wounds which had been inflicted upon them by the soldiers. Perhaps, and even with their feet being in those stocks, there would have been cuts and bruises and marks, I'm sure. But yet this man, he took them into his very home, and he bound up their wounds, and he fed them from his own table. But not only that, it says here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And once that man was saved, they spoke the word of the Lord unto him, and to all that were in his house. So what an opportunity this had opened up. Not only had this man come to faith, but those in his household had come to faith as well. I know that's a promise that many parents plead before the Lord for their family, for their children. And thy house. And I pray that to be so. That everyone in our family circles, in our house, our houses, would come to know Him as their own and personal Saviour as well. And what an opportunity this had opened up for Paul and Silas to go and to speak to others about the things of God. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes and was baptised. You see, baptism came after salvation. Now I know that the Free Church has an open policy on baptism. But here we see that baptism was the outward sign that this man had got saved. And notice there at the end of verse 33 it says, he and all his straightway. So there was no delay. After this man had got saved, and his family, when they were given the word of God, they got saved too. And they got baptized straight away. And there, what else do we see as being the outcome of salvation? Notice there in verse 34. He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Isn't that wonderful? Here we see that the outcome, the outworkings of God's salvation is rejoicing. It's real joy which this world cannot give. It's real joy in knowing that your sins have been dealt with once and for all. And that though unworthy as we are saved for time and for eternity. That Jesus Christ has brought us into his family. He has shed his precious blood to redeem us. He has reconciled us unto our Creator God, his Heavenly Father, and brought us into his family and fold. And we have been brought into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful truth that is, that we are accepted in the Beloved. Dear child of God, let that encourage your heart afresh tonight. You see, salvation brings a change. Salvation brings real joy. It brings peace. It brings satisfaction. And it brings blessing. You see, salvation is what every one of us needs. And I want to ask you again before I bring my message to a close. Are you saved tonight? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your own personal Saviour? If He's not, I pray that He would be. God's way of salvation. We thought about the question about salvation. What must I do to be saved? You see, there's nothing you or I can do to earn or to purchase God's salvation. But we have to look away from ourselves and we have to look at the one who died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He humbled Himself and He became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. And yet He was willing to do that. Why? Because He loves you. Because He loves you, sinner. Have you ever considered the love of God? Have you ever considered why the Lord Jesus Christ came? And why He went the whole way to the cross? And why He suffered unimaginable agony and suffering in those 3 dark hours of Calvary, when He paid the ransom price for our sins as our substitute? But He did it because He loved you. Will you come to Him tonight? Will you look to Him? I close with this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His own namesake and glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn. And we're just going to turn now to 323. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And we'll sing the first and the 4th verse, please, of Amazing Grace. Remain seated while we sing the words of this hymn. Heavenly Father, we have been considering solemn matters tonight. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, what has been of thyself will prosper. And Lord, what has been of man will fall to the ground. Lord, bring everyone savingly and lovingly to thyself, I pray. And Lord, may we all one day, if we never meet again this side of heaven, Lord, may we meet on that land, on the shore of that land which is fairer than day, as sinners saved by grace. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldst take us now to our homes in safety. Give us girding mercies home, we pray. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us this day until Jesus calls or comes again. And it's in His precious name we humbly ask and pray these things. Amen.